The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that's willing to initiate total nuclear destruction of the entire world just to prevent Matthew Broderick from getting laid.
The movie where a Michael Madsen type is played by... Wait, is that Michael Madsen?
The only movie that tic-tac-toe... will save the world.
This is Blockbuster Nostalgia, War Games. Welcome back, Blockheads. EG Sites here.
Francisco Landin, and joining us once again,
Cody Hebert.
Hey, Cody. Welcome back to the show. Slightly less drunk.
Yeah.
Now with your very own microphone.
Yeah, I really appreciate the microphone and the fact that...
The opportunity to come back. I got to tell you, last performance is not your strongest performance.
Also, the fact that I was way more wasted whenever I was
Yeah, you're pretty drunk.
Yeah, we were
all pretty good.
There was a Splash episode, if you guys want to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, still listen to it. It's a very fun episode.
It is. It's a very fun episode.
It's very good fun.
Cody's episode. A little drunk.
I'm just embarrassed about myself. It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
No, well, you don't have to be embarrassed because we're embarrassed for you.
Yeah.
And look, who hasn't gotten super drunk and done an embarrassing podcast?
Yeah, we've all done
We've all done that. Everybody in the world, ever.
Listen to the first 10 episodes of this fucking podcast.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's just
me
wasted. It is just a mirror of my alcoholism.
Yeah,
my
really. We were out of control.
yeah.
We were out of control back then. Not now.
No, we're good now.
Hold on, let me pour myself another drink.
Yeah. I mean, we're still very, very drunk, but, you know.
Yeah, but we're in control drunk.
It's a controlled drunk. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. It's a controlled drunk.
That's what I'm going to tell the cop
next
time. This is a control
next time
drunk,
you pulled
sir.
Over, yeah. I got this under control.
Have you been drinking? Yes.
It's a control
drunk.
Got it under control, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. Just keep saying that.
Yeah. This guy knows.
Every cop, this guy knows.
I feel like he knew, though.
Yeah. So knock on wood, everybody.
That we get pulled over by a cop that's also an alcoholic. Yeah. It's just like, all right, no, I know what you're talking about here. I mean, I'm drunk
that's
right now.
That's the cop that I would be. Yeah, get out of here, kid.
It's always fair game when you have the right cop.
Yeah. That's the problem is that all cops are shitty cops.
That's not true.
That is not true.
That's not true at all.
You have to... Every guy that I've known that was a cop, that was a cool guy, he never made it as a cop that long. Like 3 years, he's out. I'm like, he can't do it.
Yeah. There's been a few. Although I want to know. Here's my thing though. I want to know in movies, like say the Police Academy movies, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
There's always like super hot cop chicks that like have cleavage hanging out and are just like, where are those cops?
They don't exist.
Why don't I get pulled over by those cops?
I've seen a couple of hot cop chicks, but maybe it's just my fantasy because I just see like a blonde cop.
Yeah, no, I think you're just looking, you're taking that and running.
You're seeing it from a distance, man.
No, there's a whole line of online porn where it's like two female cops that just
Porn. Those aren't real cops.
No, those are real officers of the law, sir.
Sure, they're real cops. Sure, they're real cops. Even when they claim to be, they're not.
Yeah, no,
it's just your fantasy.
I've seen hot cops before. But then again, I mean, sometimes I'm just horny. I just saw a female cop and I'm like,
good
so
enough.
every second of every day.
at all times
doesn't stop.
Sky knows me, Sky knows me. All right, let's talk about War Games.
Well, let's talk about what this podcast is, because we're a good 5 minutes in and people don't know what they're listening to.
Go ahead, explain.
A podcast that is counting down the top 105 grossing movies of the 1980s.
From 105 all the way up to number one.
That's right.
Back in 1983, this movie made $79.568 million.
Knocking on that $80 million door?
Yeah, getting there, man. Getting to $80 million.
This is
early 80s.
Yeah, real early 80s.
Yeah, that's quite a bit.
83,
actually.
This is our second appearance on the countdown by the director John Badham. He also did Stakeout, if you want to go back and listen to that episode.
Sure, it's pretty good.
It's not bad, whatever.
Yeah, the movie's good.
Yeah, the movie's very good. Probably better than the episode.
Didn't he do like Staying Alive or no?
He did. No, he didn't do Staying. He did Saturday Night Fever. Exactly.
Which is the prequel.
The prequel to Staying Alive, which we talked about.
Yeah.
That was Stallone, remember?
Yes.
But he's gone on to do a lot of movies. But it's also the second appearance of Matthew Broderick.
Of one Matthew Broderick. We did Ferris Bueller.
We did
Amazing that this movie is so far ahead of Ferris Bueller.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
Because Ferris Bueller is a movie that popular. Like, so much more popular. We've all seen that movie a million times.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And yet, yeah, War Games.
But this is one of those movies that's a really fucking good movie.
It's a really good movie, and it's also a really timely movie. It really, like, gets into, like, the psyche of what people were feeling in 1983, I assume.
Yeah, so it's all, like, Cold War stuff, and also computer, like,
fear of computers combined with fear of the Soviets and nuclear, and not really even the Soviets, but of just nuclear winter.
And it's so ahead of its time that Ronald Reagan watched this movie and then immediately went back to Congress and asked them to make anti-hacker laws.
Yeah.
Based on this fucking movie. Like, he didn't even know this shit existed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he saw Matthew Broderick do some shit.
I don't think anyone... certainly some people did, but I don't think most of America knew that hacking was a thing.
Yeah, that the computers controlled so much shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That you could come in from the outside and, like...
And you can see a direct line from this movie to, like, Terminator, certainly. The Net in the 90s with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Like, just this idea that, like, computers control so much and they'll, like, fuck us eventually. And
yeah,
Y2K again, fears.
Hackers in the 90s.
Hackers, that's right.
Kind of a big rip off of this movie.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. You can totally get that.
And then forcing in the future for AI. I mean...
That's right, yeah.
AI.
They're just going to rule everything anyway.
Eventually, one giant Whopper computer.
Yeah, that's right. Great name. Great name. This movie evidently sponsored by Burger King.
Yeah, the name of the big computer's name is Whopper.
Yeah. It's because when I see a big computer that almost destroys the world, I think... Cheeseburger.
I think a British-owned company.
Yeah.
Cheeseburgers.
I'd like a mildly okay cheeseburger that's probably not even warm anymore. It's kind of that lukewarm temperature.
I do gotta say, I do love Whoppers. They're really fucking good.
Yeah, all right.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. I love Whoppers. They're the best burger.
I guess you're drunk most of the time. So
they're not.
The best burger, but out of the fast food chains,
no, they're not better than a Whataburger.
Whataburger
is way better. Carl's Jr. is better.
But, I mean, I would choose
with the
I would go Wendy's.
Yeah, I would choose a Wendy's burger.
Wendy's burgers. No fucking way. I'll go Whopper.
Like a double cheeseburger from Wendy's. Oh my god.
No. I mean, we're gonna go get some fucking burgers and try this out.
Besides, you can go to Whataburger and ask for mustard.
You're just gonna cut some burgers up and just be like, all right, which one's which?
Yeah.
So if you are too young to know
what a Whopper is,
yeah. Back in the, like, 80s and 90s, there were just these guys that would hack at each other with machetes out in fields, and that's where hackers came from, I assume.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely 100% accurate.
Yeah.
It was...
They would, like, log their stuff on computers, and that's why they connected the computers.
Yeah, I mean, before the UFC, you had to have some way for people to really take out their aggressions,
And it was just machete hacking.
Machete hacking, exactly.
Yeah,
just hacking.
It was a blood sport, but it was a different time. You have to understand, it's a different time.
1980s.
They didn't know about CTE back then, so...
Oh, what have you done?
That's what hacking was, if I remember correctly.
Absolutely.
That's a late 80s. That's exactly like people were...
Not to be confused with the other use of hackers, because English, you know, is a confusing language.
Yeah, of course.
The other use of hackers, of course, was for bad stand-up comedians.
Yeah, they were hacks.
Yeah, they were total hacks, so people just called them hackers.
Yeah. So a combination of both guys with machetes hacking at each other and bad comedians being hacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get this movie,
right? Well, and then you get the double hack... Which was bad comedians that also hacked each other's with machetes.
Which happened all the fucking time.
All the time.
You Google that. I think it was something like 340 deaths.
A year.
And that
just in comedy clubs.
Comedy clubs, machete hackings. Yeah.
But, you know, you had to narrow the field.
Yeah.
And otherwise, how would we get, you know, the
how
great...
How do we get Seinfeld?
Yeah, how do we get... Well, I was going to say Carrot Top, but yeah, Seinfeld, sure.
How do we get Gallagher out of that?
How did Gallagher?
If not for Gallagher's fucking...
Well, he brought out the fucking mallet. Yep. That's why.
Yeah. Everyone else
was using a knife. See, he brought out the...
Everybody was hacking at each other with machetes.
He just started warhammering motherfuckers. He went full on medieval.
Just, not a machete. That's a mallet.
Yeah. And then like to
that
the
watermelon, he's just
he had
just,
reach on him.
Yeah, he was just showing him. You guys what he used to do
to people's heads.
To people's heads. Yeah.
He just noticed that he got a lot of laughs when he smashed other comedians' heads in.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, I got to do something. So watermelon.
And nice. People love to be covered in blood. So he's well, watermelon's the closest color.
Yeah.
It's it's when you see him smashing a watermelon, that's CGI. That was a human head.
Yeah.
Every
time. And that's why from 1985 to 1992, he was deemed king of the stand-ups.
Yep.
That's the one. That's the one.
I'm just imagining his inauguration now. It's the fucking like Return of the King scene, fucking Gandalf. Gandalf played by like George Carlin putting the crown on his head.
I gave him 7 years on
that. Yeah, that's a bit, that's 7 years.
Just standing with a giant mallet, just
just his hair all crazy. That little hat. That he used to wear.
Suspenders.
Oh God.
All right, I guess we should talk about the plot of this.
So it's a movie.
War Games.
War Games. Matthew Broderick plays the coolest fucking high school student.
Oh my God, yeah.
And
the coolest high school student until Ferris Bueller.
We said that on Ferris Bueller, he was the coolest fucking high school student ever in Ferris Bueller. Now, we're saying he's the coolest high school student now. He's more serious in this.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ferris Bueller's cooler, ultimately, but he's pretty close.
Yeah. He all he does is fucking hack into shit.
Yeah.
And then he shows up to school and just sasses off.
So this is the way we're introduced to this character, right? He is playing video games, shows up to school late, sneaks in, tells the most fucking killer...
Sickest burn
joke on his teacher.
Which he was talking about like plants and bees.
They're talking about plants and animals. It's a biology class.
Yeah, and like asexual...
Yes.
Organisms.
Yeah. And so the teacher asks who was like the person that first put out the idea of having having offspring without sex. Matthew Broderick's answer, your wife.
Yeah.
It was gold.
Yeah.
It's fucking it really gold.
Good. Yeah. The balls on this fucking
and the most important thing about this is the cutest girl in school
is right there
and she loves it.
Yeah, so you're in, man. Good job, Matthew Broderick. Ali Sheedy.
I mean, they had a common grade.
They're both failing.
They're both failing. It was. I mean,
and it's because he at first, because obviously it's the first class, so all he does is play video games.
Yeah. Of course. Well, and also,
and she's way too cute to care about biology.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she already understands that her success in life has nothing to do with her brains.
No. Way too cute.
Anyways, the second thing we follow. So the other way we know that he's super cool, a lot of ways, but. So he does get called into detention and stuff for his shenanigans, but it's all part of his plan because he knows that where they hide the password to their computers, it's right there where you wait for detention or to talk to the principal or whatever.
Yeah, he pulls a little thing out.
Gets the thing, and you find out he just goes in and changes his grade later, so fuck school.
Yeah, so what the fuck? Yeah, again, it's a Kirk thing. He's two steps ahead.
Like, if you listen to the last episode, we talk about the Kobayashi Maru. And the fact that Kirk's the only one to beat it because he cheats. He changes the system. He goes in and he hacks the system.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Matthew Broderick's doing to all the school.
Yeah.
He's hacked high school. He's Kirked high school.
Yeah. We did also skip, though, the actual first scene, which is a simulation, which is also like the Kobayashi Maru. So it's like the two guys, they go down into this bunker, and it's like the missile launch bunker. And then they get like the codes, and they get told like you have to launch the missiles, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And to do that, they have to each turn the key, and one of them doesn't fucking turn the key. Like his humanity comes through or whatever, and then he's like he won't do it. And then Michael Madsen, who doesn't look like Michael Madsen, but it's young Michael Madsen, pulls a gun on him, and he's like, "Turn your key, sir."
Yeah.
Turn your key.
And he's like about to shoot him.
Yeah. And then you find out the whole thing's a simulation.
It's all a test. And the guy that's reluctant, the guy that's human, it's John Spencer, who you may know as from The Rock as the FBI director that hates Sean Connery so much.
Enough to like send like just craziness.
Yeah. Enough that when like Sean Connery breaks out, he's like, "Destroy Seattle. I want this man." San Francisco.
San Francisco. I want this man dead.
I want this man dead regardless of any cost to civilian life.
Yeah, and yet in this movie, he did not want to turn the key because he wanted to save civilian life.
It's true.
Yeah.
He's a complicated man.
Yeah. He did not want to be responsible for killing.
Well, if he would have known that Sean Connery was there, though,
he would have turned that key.
He would have turned that key.
True. I guess if Sean Connery was there, he's like, you know what? Nah, hell with this. And turn the key.
It's funny because like after
I
that,
I feel like there's a lot of husbands out there that feel the same way.
Yeah. Turn the fucking key. It's followed up by the scene of all these like generals and shit being like, what the fuck is it with these guys not turning the key and starting like World War III?
Yeah, why do they want to kill 20 million people? Like, cause a chain reaction that's going to destroy the entire Earth. I don't understand
it. I'm tired of this shit. And then
these fucking pussies, man. I swear.
What's his name? I can't remember his name now, but he's like...
These goddamn millennials, they're hiring for this job. They just don't have the balls to turn the key and kill everyone.
He's like, that's why I have a computer system that'll do that shit for you. And he's like, I don't trust computers. I don't like computers. I'm just a small town country admiral.
Exactly. Now, I don't know much about this fancy big city world. When I became an admiral over the last 40 years of my decorated military service...
What's the line that he says that we were talking about?
Oh, howdy doody.
Howdy doody.
Back when you folks were...
Barely watching howdy doody. Yeah. He's very much
folksy, yeah.
He said, damn tootin'.
That's what he says. Yeah,
damn tootin'.
Because
damn tootin'.
That's how country he is.
Yeah. For being in the military for 45 years and being at the highest level.
Yeah, because I mean,
you're not... He talks to the president.
Yeah.
You're not the one going through all the new technology at all.
No, not when you're that high up.
No, it's all fucking like corn. No, all cornfields for him.
Yeah, he's just sitting in a cornfield waiting for something to go wrong. Yeah. And then he goes into a high tech facility and
whittling.
He's, like,
he's just like whittling. Yeah. Or whatever.
Well, guess we're gonna go ahead and kill everybody.
Spittoon.
Yeah.
They just put a spittoon in there just for him.
Yeah.
The general's coming in. Put a spittoon in.
Susan, put on some coffee. I gotta go kill everybody.
And then, like, pot on the fire outside.
he's in the war room, and then he opens a door, and it's just outside in a cornfield.
It's just like a fucking outhouse out there and shit. Fireflies everywhere.
Yeah.
Talk about a secret base right there.
Yeah. That's just like a rickety fucking screen door.
Pepperidge Farms remembers when nuclear war was good old-fashioned American values.
A tall glass of lemonade.
A slice of apple pie.
Spinning a wheel with a stick.
Those
and
are the good
also
days.
Destroying the Russians.
Yeah. Because those fucking commie bastards deserve to die in nuclear winter.
Who remembers? Pepperidge Farms.
Pepperidge Farms remembers.
So Matthew Broderick trying to impress his chick.
Yeah, he reinvites her. So she gives him a ride because she's obviously already kind of into him.
Yeah, and way cooler than him.
She's a popular girl.
Yeah, she's
right?
a popular chick, yeah.
And he's like kind of a weird loner.
I do feel like if he smoked, he would be fucking her like 4 minutes in.
Yeah, that might be
true. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But so she offers him a ride on her motorized bicycle. Very cool.
And the motorized
bicycle.
Very
cool in 83.
Early mopeds.
Yeah, moped style.
That was just a fucking lawnmower motor to a bicycle.
So, and here we see Matthew Broderick, player in action.
Yeah.
Because he goes back to her house. First thing at his house, adorable dog.
Yeah. First thing, that's an in. You were talking about that. Doesn't matter what.
Yeah. Golden retrievers, man. That's all he had. A golden retriever and just penny dropper.
Instantly start. And then they get inside his house and she's like, hey, where's your parents? And they're not here.
Bam. Again.
Level two.
He's moving
right
up.
Hey, come on up to my room. All right. Level three. Walks into his room. Immediately is like, has all this computer equipment, starts being like, oh yeah, this is what I do. And like, starts like, and hacks into the school's computers in front of her.
Changes his grade.
Is like, yeah, this is, I'm pretty cool, right?
Like, he is at DEFCON 1 right there.
Yeah, he really is.
He really is. And it, I don't know, I guess her little like moral weird shit, like, I think she gets scared.
She does. Yeah. She freaks out a little bit and is like, no, don't change my grade.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Like, I'm
going to
get in trouble.
Grade.
Yeah. Yeah. But obviously she's pretty impressed. Like he's shown like his kind of skill and passion and that he's really good at it.
There's magic in that, because he not only is he really good at it and he's really passionate about it, which is big with chicks. Also, he's doing something wrong, so he's a bad boy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure.
Very passionate. Yeah. He might as well have been fixing a fucking motorcycle in front of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Like he's in, man.
Yeah. So she leaves, but I feel like some solid groundwork laid.
Yeah. Yeah. Very
some
good job.
Very solid groundwork laid.
Without really trying that hard.
Yeah. Like, without really trying at all. Like, he was still going to do all of the things he did, go home, change his grades. Yeah. Like, he was going to do that regardless.
Anyway, just brought a chick.
Exactly. Exactly. So this was all like fucking frosting on the cake, so to speak.
Yeah. He did a great job. And then, so she leaves, and then,
Oh, and it's Ally Sheedy, we should mention.
Yeah, very cute. Breakfast Club.
Yeah, Breakfast Club, Short Circuit.
Short Circuit, yeah.
Short Circuit 2.
A ton of television in the last 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of TV work.
Yeah. But yeah, no, she's super fucking cute.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, heart dumping out of your fucking shirt cute. Like, she's really, really cute.
Yeah, and the fact that she's, like, doing all these sexy exercises the whole time.
Yeah.
Running with her just titties bouncing around. It was great.
Later when he hacks into the computer and she's just like sitting in the chair with her legs up and laughing and drinking tab and shit like that. Really cute.
Oh yeah, super cute.
Yeah.
Super.
I mean, you can't forget about whenever he's like trying to get by her and she locks her legs around him.
Yeah. That's so clear. Like,
you are green lighted.
Yeah,
right,
that's
now.
Some sure indication stuff right there, for sure.
So in between that, we get to learn about the fucking NORAD, right?
Yes, NORAD. Yeah. Yes, that is what it is. And the Whopper. So we find out too that, going back to that first scene, because they're angry that the human beings have consciences and don't want to kill everybody, they're going to turn it all over to the computer so that the computer has access to launch it.
And then NORAD, what it does is it continuously comes up with scenarios.
Yeah,
it's supposed to.
Yeah, it's running. Whopper. It's running quote unquote
Whopper. Yeah,
war games. The entire, it's the title of the movie, obviously. You know, shut up. Anyways, it's running these scenarios to figure out the best way to kill the commies.
Yeah, constantly doing that. So they're like, oh, we can trust the computer then because it has no conscience. And
yeah. And so they've already done this. At the same time, Matthew Broderick finds out about this game company that's supposed to be like having the hot new fucking game. So just for shits and giggles, he's like, I'm going to hack in and like play that game.
It does get a little complicated here. Like, he has this whole thing where he's going to, he sets up his computer to dial every number in that area code.
Right.
To try to find a computer on that number.
Yeah.
And then he accidentally stumbles upon fucking Whopper. And then so he finds, it's like the Whopper computer is like, hey, Dr. Faulkner, right? Like,
no, not at first. At first, it won't let him in.
Oh, yeah.
It won't let him in at all.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, but exactly. Challenge accepted. I'm going to get into this motherfucker.
You guys also forgot about the fact that he hacked into an airline.
Oh, that's what he was doing. That's right.
Well, before that, as he's going through, he
hacks into the airline.
And he gets two tickets for him and Ally Sheedy to go
to
Paris.
France. Oh, yeah.
Paris.
Paris is in France. So you were accurate. Yeah. You weren't wrong.
It's in the area.
Be confident.
I guess.
But yes. So then he goes and finds the military password, and it just says log in. He didn't know what to do because it didn't have any.
Yeah. So at first he doesn't know what it is. But then after doing a little digging, he's like, oh, it has a bunch of games on it. Now, of course, we know these are all like strategy games.
Yeah, because one of them is called like fucking
thermonuclear war.
Warfare.
Yeah. And one of them's like chemical and biological warfare. But there's also like chess.
And poker.
And poker and stuff. But that's
checkers
because
they later
explained that like that was the basic stuff that they used to start at learning strategies.
Yeah, he takes it to some of his nerd friends who are actually also hackers.
Yeah.
Right? And computer guys.
He takes it to Anonymous.
Eddie Deason. Yeah, Anonymous. Eddie Deason plays Melvin in this, who always plays fucking Melvin.
Yeah, of course he does.
He's like the guy who plays the nerds, and he's got that really high voice, and he's got the glasses, and he was in Grease.
Yeah.
He was in Zapped. He was in I Want to Hold Your Hand. He was in Critters 2.
He was great.
Yeah. No, he's always been the fucking go-to nerd in the 80s.
For sure.
Yeah, but he's the one that tells him, like, oh, I already figured it out. Like, you just have to find out who this Faulkner's game. Because the first one was Faulkner's game. You just got to find out who this Faulkner's guy is, and then you can get
it. Figure it out. And they figure it out that this guy was this genius programmer that created the computer, basically.
And he's dead.
And he's dead. And after doing a little research, he finds out that he had a wife and child that also died.
Kid's name is Joshua.
No, yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Kid's name was Joshua. Yeah.
So just
wife's
on
name
a.
doesn't matter.
Yeah. Who cares?
Doesn't matter. He didn't care about his wife.
No, no. He was
he
all about.
Clearly doesn't care about his wife.
No.
There's almost a scene where he's just like, I didn't give a fuck about her.
It's just a ton of pictures of him, his wife, and his child, but his wife's face is crossed out.
Yeah, he does not care.
Yeah, no. So just on kind of a whim, Matthew Broderick's like, let me type in password Joseph, see what's up.
Joshua.
Or Joshua, rather. Yeah. Sorry. And they're interchangeable. Joseph and Joshua out there know that I don't consider you two different people. You're all the same.
Yeah, how dare you have different names.
Yeah, fuck
you. You know what? I totally agree with you. I'm on board with this Joseph-Joshua thing.
So, no, he
like
types...
subscribe to your newsletter about this Joseph-Joshua situation.
It's bi-weekly.
Luckily, I get my
paycheck. I have a lot of strong feelings about this. It works. And which is ridiculous. Like, why would you make your password something that obvious? Yeah. But whatever. Yeah, it's fine.
He gets in. It's TV. It's movies.
It's fine. He gets in and immediately
he's like, what game do you want to play? I want to play
thermonuclear warfare.
I want to play the highest fucking craziest one.
Yeah. I mean, complete global thermal nuclear warfare.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not?
World destruction. He could have started off with fucking chess or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what Joshua wanted to play. He's like, how about
some
chess?
Yeah, even gives him a second chance. It's almost like that, like, are you sure you want to install this?
Really,
like,
that's true. Yeah. He's like, I want to play that. And he's like, you sure you don't want to play like a nice game of chess?
Yeah.
Like, no, I want to play this fucking...
This contains
warfare.
A virus.
Yeah.
Let's play chess, because
that
doesn't...
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, yeah, no, it's fine. It's
he's
good.
Like, no, that's what I want to play. He's like, all right, do you want to be the Russians or do you want to be Americans? Which is another red flag.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to be the Russians, which... Not a wise choice back in 1983. You can't make jokes like that.
Yeah, no. Exactly right. You break down your door and they'll call you a communist. Yeah. Log you out. Pinko commie, yeah.
Which is it's pretty much what they do.
Yeah, it is kind of what it gets to.
It's pretty much
so
what
he
they
starts,
do.
He starts playing this game. And
it starts a real life simulation in fucking NORAD where they think it's happening for real.
Yeah, it's starting to go off the fucking,
They call the president.
Yeah, the president's on the phone, planes are in the air, submarines are launching, like shit is going down.
And then his parents are like, hey, what the fuck, man?
We told you to fucking do this shit with the trash.
Clean up the trash. And he's like, fine. And he turns it off. And then it's like, brrr.
Yeah. And then NORAD is like, what the fuck? Well, and at the same time, this guy like runs in. Is like, it's a simulation. Yeah. Which, that's going to come into play later. Yeah. Because these motherfuckers don't learn their goddamn lesson. But anyways.
Also, this set, this NORAD set.
Yes.
With the screens and all the fucking computer shit and stuff. At the time, the most expensive fucking set ever made.
Really?
It cost $1 million to make that fucking
set. Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe it, but yeah. I'm surprised it's the most expensive one made. I would have thought.
Because, I mean, there weren't computer screens that big. They had to make rear projection things.
Yeah,
That projected computer simulations and shit like that.
That makes sense.
Also, they had to probably set up electricians, even though they're just blinking lights.
They all had to wire that stuff in.
Yeah.
So Whopper is made of like plywood and like painted over and shit like that.
Yeah,
A guy in it that was a computer programmer with a fucking Apple II that would put shit in so that the lights would be like putting different lights.
Yeah, it's a 1,000,000% a movie set because it has all these computers that
have
a shit ton of blinking lights for no goddamn reason.
And back in 1983, you couldn't just be like, all right, let's set those and press start. Like, you have to have a guy just typing away, making the lights fucking do different shit. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird. Back then, it was all about that. Like, people worked 14 days to have, like, a light pattern come
up. Yeah,
yeah.
Which is insane because all you can do that with one click of a button now.
We were talking about your fucking smartwatch probably have 10 times more fucking processing power and
than the Whopper.
Than the whole entire thing.
And it's rooms full of, like, these, you know, CPUs and stuff like that. All these, like... I guess
those giant
memories
floppy disks and shit like that.
Yeah. So I had forgotten about that. Like, I don't think, well, I didn't forget about it. I've never seen them.
They were really big, like,
plate size. Yeah, they were, like, plate-sized floppy disks. Like, I forgot what they're called. Because, like, the...
Yeah, we're pretty old.
Yeah.
Well, no, I forgot what those floppy disks are called.
Well, because they just were sized, like, based. Because, like, so, like, the old floppy disks that, like, the were hard were the
3.5s.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Different.
And then the ones that, like, the Commodore used were the 5.7s.
And that's... It's called floppy disks.
And they were actual floppy.
Yeah, because...
Yeah. You could flop them.
Yeah. I actually did programming classes, and they taught us about legacy technology.
Oh, yeah.
And they showed us some of those, and I was like,
I mean, that's what I did, too. I don't remember that stuff. I was too young. Definitely too young.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. No, but yeah.
Me too.
We're all super born in the 90s or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all born in the 90s.
So, but yeah, Matthew Broderick has these like giant, like, yeah, like you said, they're like full size. Like,
I've never seen them that fucking big.
Yeah, fucking Olive Garden plates or something that he's shoving in there. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's he's hacking shit. With that, Matthew Broderick fucking kicks some fucking ass in hacking in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit that I didn't.
Not only that, he sets up a speaker that converts text to voice. I don't think that was a thing until like the mid 90s. Like, what the fuck was that? Yeah.
Super genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is really. And in fact, the movie, one of the first titles for the movie was just called The Genius. Because
that makes a lot of sense.
Because he's
yeah.
a fucking genius. And he does shit. So, one of the rules when you're making a movie like this, is. You have to fucking know everything about the science of it, or you make it up.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they made up and what, but it all seems incredibly realistic.
Sure.
Like the whole thing with with the payphone?
Yeah, no, it all works. Yeah, that was pretty fucking crazy later. Yeah.
Well, because it's the circuit. So all he did was complete the circuit.
Yeah,
so
I guess.
Because it's
I never thought of a payphone like that, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, the only reason there's no dial tone when you pick up and whenever you insert the quarter is because there's a closed circuit and an open circuit. So the only way they can
they have to complete it.
The quarter goes in and it sends a signal saying, closed circuit, open circuit.
So what we're talking about is he gets a payphone, he takes the bottom receiver, like,
he finds
off.
Like a bottle cap, like not a bottle cap, but like on a, like, you know, a can.
Soda can.
Yeah, soda can. And
the tab.
He touches it to that receiver and then touches it to metal parts on the phone, on the payphone, until it makes a dial tone. Yeah.
Exactly.
Which, that fucking sounds amazing.
And that's after he fucking MacGyvers the door, which we'll talk about. But
yeah. Fucking that.
Yeah, it's
door,
a really, it's really cool.
That door is dope.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, look, the technology of this movie, who knows? But certainly nobody in 1983 knew, because most people in 1983 didn't even have computers or know what computers were, really. So,
yeah. This fucking movie is crazy in that, like, Ronald Reagan saw it and he was like, no, we got to start some laws against hacking. Like, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act is actually, like, goes back to this movie. Like, after this movie, there was a huge fucking hoopla about it that Congress had to go in there and fucking...
Yeah. Well, like, and there's still debates over, like, what you can legislate as far as information and, like, freedom and all that kind of stuff. So,
thank you, Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, I guess. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Thanks, you son of a... bitch. Ruining our freedoms.
Yeah.
I want to hack whoever I want to hack.
Now,
if I want to hack celebrities to see nude photos, I should be able to do that.
Oh, they're doing that for you.
I know.
Yeah.
And I mean, if he knew anything about hacking,
I don't.
He would be really into it, and he'd be more pissed about Matthew Broderick.
That's true. Yeah. I know nothing about computers or hacking or...
Or the dark web.
Or the dark web or...
Well, he knows something about computers.
Nope.
Not even a little bit. So he just makes it up. He fakes it.
Yeah.
So he fakes
editing. It's like his orgasms.
It is. I've never had a real orgasm.
Never had a real orgasm.
I'm still waiting for that magic moment.
Just, oh, are you finished? You're like, yeah.
I guess.
Oh, God. You buy that?
That's what it sounds like, right?
You believe that, right?
Right, no, cool. I'll take care of the condom. Don't worry about it.
Don't even
touch it. There was lots of things inside that condom, for sure.
That was so much.
It was a lot.
I swear to God.
You just put lotion in at the beginning of it.
You just start off with lotion. Oh, look how much there is in there.
Oh, no, so much.
No, don't swallow it. That's not good for you. I mean,
it's
Probably toxins in there or something.
No, don't do that. I'm gonna throw it away. Oh my god, it's so much. It's a lot in there,
right? Yeah.
I totally did not fake that. Totally, that was real.
Went to completion.
She's like, "Let me suck your dick afterwards." You're like, "No, it's no. Yeah,
I'm let me wash it off first or something." Yeah.
Don't mind the coconut smell. Yeah. That's not lotion.
No, that's just what my dick smells like.
My dick smells like coconuts.
Yeah. It's from all the coconuts I eat.
And not fuck. I don't fuck coconuts.
No.
Obviously.
Clearly.
No, why would I? I'm not going to finish anyways.
I like this episode.
It's a good episode.
This is a good time to bring up our sponsors.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Let's talk about People's Choice Video.
People's Choice Video Express, again, for paying for the movie and providing the movie for us. But it's your 90s video store. You can go back and you can rent some old school sci-fi, some old school thrillers, whatever, or the new shit. Shit before Netflix and Redbox.
Yeah.
Adult movies, video games, all the newest and most popular video games. You can rent them there instead of paying $60 for them.
Yeah, for sure. That's a much better deal.
So you're saying I can get old movies, new movies, and video games?
Yeah, I know.
What?
Blow your mind.
Yeah.
And they're cheaper than buying the actual thing?
Oh, a lot cheaper.
You know what? You got me sold.
Another satisfied customer.
Shame on everybody else for not joining up with Cody here.
Yeah, that's right. So be like Cody. Yeah. Don't be like, who did we hate earlier? Joseph's? Don't be like Joseph's.
Joshua's?
Be like a Cody and go to People's Choice Video and enjoy.
Enjoy everything you rent.
Yeah, there you go.
Second sponsor,
Beer Geek Bakery. Beer Geek Bakery making delicious snacks, pastries, just amazing treats with local craft beer. Just incredible. What do you like? You like beer? Of course you like beer.
Yeah, I know that.
What else do you like? You probably like some snacks, some goodies, some treats. Yeah, some
you can go around the brewers around
confectionaries.
Here. Tucson Hop Shop. And
cheese.
Catalina has it. Yeah, she made the pretzels and the cheese for.
Oh my god, that was that Dillinger. Cheese. That yeah. Cheese was phenomenal.
It was really good. It was really fucking on point. Yeah.
So if you want to discover why people everywhere are raving about Beer Geek Bakery, what you want to do, you want to go on to Facebook or onto Instagram, follow Beer Geek Bakery, find out about all the amazing events in Southern Arizona.
And People's Choice Video.
And People's Choice Video. Do that too, obviously. And of course us, if you don't already, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and all that.
Yeah, before you do anything else, follow us.
Yeah, I mean, obviously follow us. Share us. And subscribe on iTunes and stuff like that. Yeah, and share and tell your friends and all that shit, whatever. But yeah, you can go on, find out about Beer Geek Bakery's events, and go to them, because they're great, and we'll probably be there, and we'll probably be drunk, and you can talk to us and be like, hey, you guys are dicks, and we'll be like, yeah.
You know, it's fighting words.
Yeah.
We won't fight. We'll just say those things,
and then if you try and fight us, we'll just make jokes.
Curl up in the ball and... It's my only defense mechanism.
Yeah.
Probably buy you a
beer. He's very good at curling, though.
Yeah. I'm pretty good at armadilloing.
Yeah.
They're like, you want to fight? You're like, you want a beer? They're like, yeah, all right.
Well, I was going to kick your ass, but I like this beer idea. I'm going to go with that now.
They're like, I only drink liquor. Nah, I'd rather fight you.
I'm like, all right, well, let's fight then.
It's more like,
well, they're like, no, top shelf. All right, fight.
I'm not paying $10. Fuck you, man. It's $3 or nothing, sir. So anyway, back to the plot on this motherfucker. So then, guys, the most inconspicuous guys that we have ever seen. Which is just random dudes in trench coats with giant earpieces.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gigantic earpieces.
Yeah, gigantic earpieces. Just show up and start following Matthew Broderick around.
I'm pretty sure those earpieces did absolutely nothing.
No, they were just like there to tip him off.
Yeah, for sure. They were just like, we're Secret Service, obviously. Yeah.
Where's our Secret Service earpieces?
FBI, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where's our FBI's earpieces? And everybody just like, hey, put your earpiece on.
I think they were the same thing back then.
They weren't.
I know, I'm just trying to back my own point.
No, it was all Secret Service, FBI, and the X-Files were all the same thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the BPRD.
Mm-hmm. CSI. CSI Miami.
Yeah, CSI Miami. They were all part of
the same. They're all the same shit.
Okay, like that. What is BPRD? BPRD stand for?
Oh, what is it?
The Bureau of Research. Wait.
Paranormal Research.
Yeah. Bureau of Paranormal Research
and Development. Okay. Yeah.
I think so.
That sounds about Hellboy. Right. Yeah.
It's just Ghost Men in Black.
BP.
Not just
I
ghosts,
was like
demons, vampires.
As soon as I heard
witches.
BP, I was like big penis. Like it pops into my head. I mean, everything sexual.
Big penis, really?
I mean, I would assume. Hellboy.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's great. Yeah, but it big works. Penis, really? Dick.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. That's what it's going to stand for from now on.
I like that you did go with big penis on it.
You got that BPRD?
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah, big penis. Really? Dick.
Really?
Anyway, so, all right.
I don't know, why are you looking at me like I'm the one that's supposed to tell the plot?
We'll get back to
it. Just because I normally do.
Matthew Broderick gets picked up by these obvious fucking FBI guys.
Yeah,
he's an obvious FBI.
And here's the great thing about it. Do they take him to jail? No.
They take him to the fucking base.
They take him back to NORAD, the place he hacked, and are like, "Hey, what's up, kid? Like, what are you doing? Are you working with the Soviets? You probably work with the Soviets, right? You're working with the Soviets."
Nah, I'm just fucking around, man. Like, I'm a kid. I'm trying to get laid, and they're like, "Nope, working with Soviets."
Yeah, well, and it's the one of the FBI guys. It's the fucking principal from Back to the Future.
Yeah,
or as I like to know him, the badass cop from Masters of the Universe.
No.
Probably third best movie of the ever.
It's of the ever.
Oh my god.
He's sticking to it.
Such a great movie.
That's a story.
It's so fucking terrible.
Such a fucking
it is
great
so
movie.
Terrible.
It's like so good.
You know
Dolph
what?
Lundgren,
I need to watch
Frank
it.
Frank Langella.
Yeah, we're going to have to do like just a podcast on that because
I love it so much.
Awful.
It's the best.
It is awful.
It's great.
I guess I have to be the judge of it because I mean 1% is great.
Like
1%, yeah.
I think we need like everyone to weigh in on this.
It's like you're gonna be like it's awesome. Then you're like it's awful. I'll be like
It's like when you make a bet and one neutral guy holds all the money.
Yeah,
that's exactly what you are.
Yeah,
exactly.
Except for what if I'm just like it was okay.
Yeah, what if you like it a lot?
You'll like it a lot. You will like it a lot.
Well, if I like it a lot, then obviously I'm giving the money to Graham.
That's true.
Of course.
Now, if this is about impressing you, then I gotta step up my game.
Oh, well. Yeah, I mean.
Hey, stop touching him like that. You're influencing the judge.
Hey,
can someone stop this? Oh, this isn't right.
No, it's fine.
No, don't stop.
So
anyway,
there's oh, before we get too far into the plot,
we're 20 minutes into the fucking plot. We are not too far.
There's such a great part when he's investigating the scientist or the doctor, whatever, that made the computer.
And then microfilm.
Yeah. And at one point he has all these printouts and stuff, and Ally Sheedy comes over, and it sounded like I just said Ally Sheedy, but I didn't.
Sheedy. Yeah.
But
Ally
when she.
Sheedy.
Yeah, I you know maybe she's into that. I don't know.
Scat.
No, but
I think she's too young for that.
I mean,
they're
really.
Never too young. Hashtag not a pedophile.
Oh man, that needs so much explaining that we're not going to do on the podcast.
All right. Inside joking. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, don't do that. But there's a whole bit where he's telling her the story, and he puts in this tape. I guess it's like a Betamax, maybe? I don't know. VHS? Was that around in 83? I don't even know.
Yeah, there were Betamax and VHS, I think, were like fighting it out at that time.
Okay, so he puts in this tape, and it's the doctor, and Ally Sheedy's like, oh, like he's really interesting looking or something. Like he's cool looking or something like that. And Matthew Broderick's like, oh, well, you know, he died. And she's like, oh, he doesn't look that old. And he's like, oh, no, he was 41. She's like, oh, that is old.
Yeah. Or like, that's not all
that's
that old.
It's not all that old.
Also, he looks just like
but that's such a thing for like, oh, he does. Yeah, he does. He's a Matthew Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, it's a.
If they did a remake of this right now, that's Benedict Cumberbatch 100%.
The actor John Wood, he looks a lot
he's
like
He's fucking
Benedict
Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
He
but
Cumberbatched the shit out of that job.
It is totally a thing that a 15-year-old would be like, 41? That's super old.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
And I feel like when I'm 41, I'm going to be like, 15 years. Yeah, all right.
Hashtag
not a pedophile. It's in now, man.
We got a lot of explaining to do for this one.
A new catchphrase.
Hashtag we'll see. You got some explaining to
do. How many podcasts have you said hashtag not a pedophile?
This is the first one.
This is the first one. This is the first one? Yeah, yeah.
Great. Great one to introduce.
Yeah. But so they capture him. They take him in. They question him. And then they're like, he's clearly a spy. So
because he hacks again. He double hacks.
So what happens is while they're talking to him, all of a sudden the fucking computer goes crazy and they're like, the Soviets are moving.
Yeah, so the guy leaves him alone in his office to go figure out what the fuck's going on. And he has a computer there, so Matthew Broderick's like, yeah, you know what?
He sees like the sirens go off and he sees the Soviets are moving. Yeah. So he's like, what the fuck? So he goes and he asks the computer,
like, what's going on?
Are we playing the game? And the computer's like, we're still playing the game.
And he's like, is this real or is this a game? And the computer's like, what's the difference?
Yeah, exactly. And then he finds out that if the computer... They say it out loud, actually. They're like, well, they hacked into the codes. That's what it is. They hacked into the missile launch codes. And then the guy is like, no, I can change those. That's no big deal. I can change them within an hour. They can't actually use the codes until we get to DEFCON 1.
Right.
And then the computer says that to Matthew Broderick.
He's going to get him to DEFCON 1. Yeah. Then I can launch.
Then I can launch. Yeah. Exactly.
And win. Because the computer's trying to win.
Yeah. Also, the fact that whatever... They were like, why did you leave the boy alone in the war computer? Yeah. Like, it's like the one computer that's set up to do the one job that Joshua needs to do.
All of it. Yeah. He leaves the hacking guy alone.
He's just like, what did this guy do? Oh, he just hacked into NORAD. Yeah. Oh, so let's leave him with the best computer we have.
To be fair, though, when they left him in the fucking infirmary, he still hacked his way out of shit.
That's true. So they take him. They don't have like a brig. So they put him in the infirmary.
Which is why you don't take him there.
Yes.
You take him to a prison.
Right. Exactly. So they throw him in like the nurse's office.
All solved.
Yeah.
They throw him in the nurse's office and he figures out a way to fucking MacGyver hack into the keypad to open it up. And then on top of it, this may be Matthew Broderick's like fucking best moment in the movie. Because not only does he hack it so he opens it and leaves, but then he's like, nope, before I go. And he shorts it out so that it's locked. So they spend like an hour.
That's thinking two steps ahead.
That is some fucking genius fucking level shit.
And then while they're doing that, he's like crawling through vents.
Yes.
And then he comes out and then he gets caught. But then they think he's part of the tour group.
Well, he doesn't get caught.
No, I mean like...
Yeah. There's like, a little like jump scare thing. Yeah.
You punks see you own everything. Get back in the fucking tour group.
Yeah, but so he just leaves with the tour group, just walks out, and they take him on the bus.
Fucking outsmarted.
It's really great. It's a really awesome, like... It's one of those sequences in movies where you're just like so enamored with the main character being really cool that you're just like, God damn, that's fucking cool.
Yeah. And that's part of the charm of this fucking movie. He's so smart.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't really get was the fact that, like, that guy stopped him when he was, like, maybe, like, 10 feet from the actual, like, tour group. Like, he was heading towards the tour group.
The guy was a hard ass. The guy could have just been like, hey, hurry up. Like, he didn't have to give him such fucking business. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, hey, man, I'm walking towards the tour group. Like, just let me go. Like,
no, that's for the audience.
He totally had a, like, a you fucking punk kids.
Yeah. It's a guy that was just, like, so, like, he's had so many tourists come by and leave, like, gum under his fucking workstation. Yeah. He's just like, these motherfuckers.
On the way to work, he's finally fed up by all these fucking kids in the car.
His parking, the bus was in his parking spot. It's like, Jesus, now I got to park in the back of the, walk all the way.
This guy's like, day. Yeah,
this whole guy's day, just being just fucked over by these
whole
goddamn
second
tourists.
Movie, just,
guy's day. How shitty his life was up until that point.
His wife left him that morning.
And then to top it all off, he lets him go, which I feel like gets him fired, like. Later when they see the video.
The video, and they're like, why did you let him go? And I don't know.
Get out of my face.
This guy was the most fucking wanted person in the world. So this is when he does the payphone trick. He calls Ali Sheedy and he's like, hey, I need some plane tickets. I can't tell you what it is. Just please do this.
He looks up Faulkner.
Yeah. Well, he looked up Faulkner while he was on the computer.
Yeah.
And he finds out he's still alive and he's in Washington, I want to say.
No, yeah, right? I think it was Oregon.
Oregon.
It was Oregon. Oregon, yeah.
Yeah, he's in Oregon. That's right. So he's from Seattle.
That's where all retired people go, is Oregon.
Yeah. I thought it was Miami. Yeah, Florida. But
and Arizona.
Actually. And Arizona, yeah. We have a lot of retired people here, for sure.
You guys haven't been to Oregon, have you?
I've been to Oregon one time, but not, I didn't retire there.
I mean, you should have.
You should have.
Judging by this podcast.
Burn. Let me take all these fucking ashes off.
Yeah. Put yourself out. There's a fire extinguisher. So he does fly to Oregon. And when he gets out of the fucking airport, Ali Sheedy's there.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck? What are you doing here? Yeah. Surprise. I really want to fuck you. Yeah, exactly. Like, have you not gotten the message? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're still going to fuck, right? And he's like, I got
a lot of stuff going on. The world's about to end. I mean, I do want to fuck you, but.
And that's what I was asking you guys.
Yeah. She was dropping clues like a motherfucker.
And I was asking you guys, like, at that point where you're like, the world kind of depends on me, but also I'm like a fugitive.
Yeah.
And I could spend the rest of my days in prison and shit like that. And she shows up. Can you still fuck her?
And I still say yes. Yes. Yes, I could.
Pressure.
I mean, I would not come, but yes.
Yeah, we established.
You obviously don't. I would be
incapable.
You just have a barrage of tricks to trick them. To make them think that you came.
You're like, Ali Sheedy, that was amazing.
incredible. I've never come so hard.
Oh, my God. There's so much of it.
Oversell it. Oh, God. I'm coming. Overselling it.
Yeah. Start, like, slamming the wall. Just,
coming.
But you got to make sure she's at that level where she's just completely exhausted laying on the bed. And you're just like, oh, that was great.
No,
and
you don't have to.
Well, you... You should.
That's what she's thinking.
I mean, if you really want to sell it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because then she's too tired to check, and you're just like.
It's been like 3 hours, and she's just like, God fucking
just
damn.
Finish.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like, you're like, oh, you want me to finish? Just say
all
so.
All right, then I'm going to finish. I swear to God. That's just been
I swear
finishing.
To Christ.
I'm finishing right now.
Just go Super Saiyan on their asses and just be like, yes.
Done now.
So
they go to visit the doctor, or doctor,
Benedict,
right? He's a doctor. They go to visit
Benedict
Cumberbatch.
They're
like, hey.
Who's flying a pterodactyl, first of all?
Who's flying a pterodactyl,
it was a weird shot.
It's a weird shot because they just start with a pterodactyl, and you're like, what the fuck
is
going on now? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, they're on the ferry, and Ferris Bueller is telling her, like, this is what the fuck is going on. Like,
right. He explains the whole situation.
And then it cuts from that to a pterodactyl flying around, and we're like, is that a pterodactyl? What the fuck is that?
No, yeah. Ferris Bueller's name is David in this movie.
Yeah shut up. David. His name is Ferris Bueller.
It's Ferris Bueller all the time.
All the time. Forever.
That's why Ferris Bueller hacked his computer grades.
Yeah, obviously.
It's the same person.
He's the same guy. The same guy. So they go and
Benedict Cumberbatch
is like a nihilist that is like, oh, you know, the dinosaurs went extinct.
I didn't
and,
see that coming.
Now humans turn, I guess.
He,
I don't know.
He totally like brings him in and he's like, oh, let me show you guys something. And I was like, oh, he's going to computer it up. And he's like, no, look at the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
They're gone. And now we get to die.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not a thing. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. It's old. Like, no, the old stop motion. Yeah.
Well, showing Ray Harryhausen.
Yeah. Ray Harryhausen. Yeah. It's freaking cool as hell.
Yeah.
I feel like he just wants people to give a shit. So he was just like, oh, I guess they do give a shit. I'll do stuff.
Totally, no, it's supposed to be because he's depressed about his wife and
son. Yeah, his wife
dying.
And son.
Well, just
died.
The son. Just the son.
Yeah, I mean, we were establishing
he
as Harris'
no
wife.
Fucks
yeah.
No fucks about the wife.
Yeah. He had hated her for years.
their marriage was a sham.
And the fact that
she
killed his son, like.
Oh, he hates her even more for
that. Oh,
yeah,
for sure.
For sure.
He totally tells them, like, oh, well, you know, the best thing about this is you get to die now.
We're really close to Bortland or whatever. So we're gonna like
we don't even have to suffer anymore.
Suffer, yeah, no suffering, just death.
Just fucked
just
up. And then he's like,
we'll see a flash, and then
and then that's
he's like, if I do something about it, maybe you live to have a son, and then you have to
watch
him
die. Yeah,
which is more fucked up.
Yeah, he's a really fucked up guy at this
really
point.
Fucked up guy.
But eventually. Like,
so they leave that
they
place.
Leave because they're like, no, fuck this. We're young. We still have ideals.
Yeah. And they're like, we got to get back, but they can't swim back. So they're obvious.
Do you remember why he can't swim back?
Because it's
far. Because it's very far.
He can't
and
swim.
He can't swim.
Swim.
He can't swim.
So their solution to that is, let's fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so they
so
start to...
We, all three of us were like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They're clearly, totally going to do it.
Yeah, clearly, let's fuck. Like, that's what we were all turned to.
And David missed the first cue, so she
tried to kiss him, and he fucked it up.
Yeah,
this time, he goes for it.
Yeah, yeah, because the first time, she put her arm around his neck, and he was like...
He just waited too long.
And so she just kissed his forehead, and it was like, oh.
But this time, that was on the ferry before this. This time, they start making out, and it starts getting like, oh, okay, here we go. Spotlight.
And then Benedict Cumberbatch, again, as if not a buskill the first
time. Yeah, now he's cock-blocking.
Now he's cock-blocking.
He really could have hung out for 20 minutes, and then they could have banged.
Yeah, and he would have got a free show because he was in a helicopter.
Yeah, he would have seen some ass.
Which I feel like...
Hashtag, not a pedophile.
A high five, Cody, on that one.
So evidently he has a friend with a helicopter, so they fly back to NORAD. It's a guy flying it. Yeah. They fly back to NORAD. Somehow along the way, they've contacted people because when they get there... Like,
they get in.
Soldiers are like giving them like padges and like ferrying them in.
By this point, we're at DEFCON 1.
Yeah, well, not quite.
DEFCON 2.
We go to DEFCON 1 shortly after that.
They're subs, people in NORAD, they think that the subs are there. They're going to launch. We have 6 minutes after they launch.
Right. Well, and then they get the launch code. Like, they get the Soviets have launched.
Yeah.
Like, this is happening.
This is happening right fucking now.
And that's when they break in and they're like, no, this is all a simulation. And then the stupidest part of the movie, because so we have Benedict Cumberbatch there who created this machine, right?
Yeah.
He created it. He knows it inside and out, assuming.
Although I do want to, before we get to that. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead. Go back.
They do pull. They drive up in a fucking Jeep. They drive through the gate.
Yeah.
They smash through the gate. They flip the fucking Jeep over.
Yeah, they do.
Not a stunt. That was a real accident.
Oh, nice. That was a mistake?
That was a mistake. So the stunt was, it drives through the gate all the way in. And in the movie,
but they fucked it up.
It flips over. And then they decided that they liked it so much that they shot people running to the Jeep after the stunt went wrong. Which was pretty fucking cool.
Wow, that's cool.
And then they were running away from it. So they're just like, fuck it, keep going.
Keep going. They shot that shit, yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
But anyway.
I don't know where we were. We were talking about them fucking. Let's go back.
No, this was important.
Okay.
Because
Benedict Cumberbatch
appeals
gets there.
To humanity.
Yes, exactly. So Benedict Cumberbatch, instead of being like, "Hey, let me log in and show you that this is all a simulation or whatever," he's like, "No, don't you understand? Like, the Soviets know that if they launch, everything dies. So they wouldn't do that because they know that we would kill them. So what does your heart tell you? It's what the fuck are you what kind of hippie bullshit are you talking about?
Just log in.
The highest fucking general in the U.S. listen to that.
Yeah, no.
No.
He'd be like, fucking get this hippie out of here.
Yeah. We're in the middle of a war, motherfucker. Yeah. Get out. No, instead he's like, wait, you're right.
You're right. Let me just sit here and wait.
Why would the Russians start a war that we've been talking about for fucking 25
years? Yeah, exactly.
Years?
That we have been living in constant fear since JFK. Like, are you serious?
That we've been preparing for it because we know it's inevitable.
Yeah.
For like 30
and this
years.
Is this is a real thing that like I'd never really had to live with.
No, we
because,
didn't live through the Cold War. We
yeah,
didn't.
I mean, by the time I was really conscious of what the fuck was going on, the Cold War was over.
Yeah, no.
But this, I mean, if you watch media, if you hear interviews, if you talk to people, like, there was a real fear from like the late 70s and especially into the 80s and early 80s and mid 80s that we were all going to die.
Yeah. Like we, because remember I asked, I was like, who wins if we actually went to war with the Russians? And you were like, nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah. Well, and then I changed my answer to like Chile, South Africa,
because
Australia.
Your world gets destroyed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe England would take everything back.
The moon.
Yeah.
The moon definitely wins. The moon would win.
Moon men win.
The fucking Martians from like War of the Worlds.
The moon men made of cheese win this
round. Yeah, I mean, my dad was a nuclear technician in the Cold War. He literally was the guy that was like, oh, we need to fire nukes? Okay.
And they had one button?
Yeah.
Because in this movie, they had a fucking button.
Yeah, no, he just had one button that just fired the entire nuke.
I don't know how you get through a day without pressing that button.
Well, that's because you want all life on the earth.
Yeah, yeah. So. I hate everything.
And I think also he had like a key that he had to flip and then pop the button open.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a task.
It's a two thing.
So he was just like,
worth some money, man. If you
I'm pretty sure he like opened the key every once in a while.
That'd
like,
actually be a cool thing to have.
Click.
Yeah. Right.
Click. Like you know that whenever you have something like really boring yeah, you just click, you keep opening it and closing
it's
like
the fidget spinner
like,
thing.
Like yeah.
Like a pen
like a pen but except for he had a nuclear button that was protected
it's like a pen
by...
only if you slip you kill everyone
exactly
yeah
I do have to
although
say, I do have to say to both of you motherfuckers
yeah go ahead
it's nuclear
I said nuclear I said nuclear
god damn it
I was saying it right earlier
you
I'm probably
right
more
earlier.
Intoxicated now
it is true we are very drunk
and
yes,
I'm adopting what Eric says
so. All right I'm gonna concede that to you guys. We're very drunk
you know I respect
nuclear.
The president
See, I can say it right now
and
nuclear.
George Bush said,
"Bastard!
You respect the only president. Yeah,
the only president that I ever knew. No,
George W. Bush.
Nuclear. We're just gonna shorten nuclear.
Nuclear.
Yeah.
Nuclear.
Nuclear eye drops.
Is the best eye drops you can get. Hashtag not a pedophile.
Now that's a slogan
now
that you can not have sex with a minor with.
Consider that shit stolen. That's going all over our shit. That's what we're gonna become famous for.
Oh Jesus!
Just a whole hashtag not a pedophile.
All Francisco's fault.
Every time they're gonna be like, "Do you understand that by saying that it makes it seem like?" And then we're like, "No, it's in there. We are not pedophiles. We are telling you to your face, we are not pedophiles, sir. I can't make this any more clear. I cannot make this any more clear.
Obviously,
we are not pedophiles."
This is the nuclear option. Also sponsored by nuclear
eye drops. The best in eye drops. Bottom line, they don't launch. They figure out, all the impacts, nothing actually happens.
They waited out and
they waited out.
Happen,
the impacts happen, but nothing happens because there's not actual real missiles. It's all simulation.
But then the computer's like, fuck you guys, I'm locking you out.
Yeah.
I'm still playing this game.
The computer's like, no, I'll launch the nukes myself then.
The computer is clicking.
Can I do
yes.
it? It goes, dun, dun, dun.
No, for sure.
Yeah, it absolutely yeah. does that.
Yeah.
And so then they're freaking out because they're like, we're locked out. We can't cut the if we cut the power now, the missile silo.
Defense,
well, no, it's not that. It's that the missiles will carry out their last order, which was to launch.
Yeah. Which is a stupid thing to do.
It's a very stupid thing. But yeah. So they'll launch if we cut the power.
Well, it kind of makes sense.
But if we don't cut the power. Yeah, because I guess
if
one side
Russians
gets hit,
like if one side
gets hit, and the power goes out,
EMP happens, exactly. They're just like, nope, continue
still
order.
Launching, right? Yeah. Which again, we talked about like how crazy it is. Our defense system was so. How do we defend our country? Well, our defense system, are we going to like stop their missiles? Do we have a shield?
No.
Do we like laser their missiles? No. Our defense system is we're going to blow them up at this after they've blown us up.
If we get blown up, they get blown
up
too.
We get blown up too. Yeah, which okay. That's one way to
See it. Yeah.
I was hoping for like a fucking Star Trek energy shield, but you know whatever.
If I learned anything from Watchmen,
it's
Doomsday Clock.
Yeah, that you need a giant squid monster?
Yes. You need a giant squid monster to save the whole world.
Yeah. And lies. You need lies, mainly.
A lot of lies.
A lot of lies. And a sociopath to control it all.
Blue penis.
And blue penises, obviously.
So just a Kraken.
Yeah. Oh,
Just
you
a
need a Kraken and a sociopath.
Because a Kraken is made up of squid monsters, lies, and sociopaths.
And blue penises.
And blue penises.
I mean, lots of tentacle blue penises.
Yeah. You basically need a blue penis Kraken and me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prove us wrong, listeners.
So.
Tweet why you don't.
Yeah. Tweet at us at 80s Movie Podcast. Yes. The computer's still going to launch everything. And they're trying to figure out, how do we stop this? They're trying to hack into it. It's locked out. Matthew Broderick finally gets the idea. No, this computer
likes
to play games. This computer's a real flaky person. Likes to play those games. You Tinder users know what I'm talking about.
All you fucking do is play games.
Yes, I know that very well.
Yeah.
So
you gotta do a swipe.
They log in and they they start like, hey, you want to play this game? You want to play this game? No, no, no. They finally figure out tic-tac-toe. Like,
what game is not under tic-tac-toe?
And Matthew Broderick figures out because the earlier conversation he had with Benedict Cumberbatch is that he could never teach the computer futility.
Yeah.
Because, and he uses the example tic-tac-toe, because if you've ever played tic-tac-toe, you know it's impossible to win unless the person you're playing against is an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. If you are in any way smart, you will always...
Yeah, you always just block it in a stalemate.
Always block, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you just end in a stalemate every time, and so they just start playing tic-tac-toe, and they force the computer to play tic-tac-toe against itself. So of course,
zero, yeah.
Of course the computer's just going to tie itself every time, because the computer's not stupid enough to make a mistake. So yeah. It just runs a million fucking tic-tac-toes.
Yeah. And then it fucking shorts out.
Like, yeah. And then it starts shorting out and freaking out. And then it starts doing the same thing with the simulation for war.
Yeah.
So, and it just runs all these different simulations.
And it proves what you had said, which is who wins?
Nobody.
Nobody. You kept saying win or none. Win or none. Win
or none. Win or none. Win or none.
Didn't matter where it started.
Yeah. At this point, Cody, I did want to ask you, because you're reading Ready Player One now.
Yes.
That's right. You mentioned that this shows up in the book.
In the book, yeah. All right, so spoiler alert for people, if you haven't read the book, and if you're waiting for the fucking movie.
Yeah, spoiler, I mean,
but still.
I think it'll probably still happen in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Steven Spielberg is producing it.
And no, he's directing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But how does it connect to this?
So, there's a spot... I don't want to really give everything away.
No, give everything away. I just said spoiler alert, so you're
okay.
Free.
Well, so the main like thing of the story is they're trying to find these keys. And the first key is a copper key.
Yeah.
Well, the main character finds a copper key, and he has to open the first gate, which is a copper gate. Well, he completes this quest on one of the original computers that the creator of the Easter egg happened.
Yeah.
So this is the contest, and whenever he opens this, like he finishes the quest, the gate opens in the War Games poster. So
in the poster.
In the poster. Nice. So the poster becomes the gate. So when he opens the gate, he starts off as Matthew Broderick playing Galaga
in the very beginning.
Yeah, at the very beginning when you first see Matthew Broderick. No playing shit. The Galaga game, and this little boy comes up to him. He's like, hey, David, you're going to be late for school. He's like, I don't know what to do. And it said, like, on his up display, because it's all virtual reality,
yeah.
It says, improper dialogue. And he's like, oh, shit, I'm in the movie. So
he has to, like, reenact the movie.
So he starts, he's like, thanks, man. He's like, here, take over my Galaga game. He's like, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, all right, cool. And he starts taking over, and he starts running out, and he's like, oh, wait. And he runs back and grabs his little notebook like he did in the movie, and he's just like, every time he completed a little task, it was like so 100 points.
What a weird thing to put
so
in
it's a memory game.
It is. And it's like...
You have to just remember War Games.
Yeah. Well, because the whole thing was like... About the book was the person who created the Easter egg wanted everybody to be as obsessed about the 80s as he was.
Oh, okay.
And this is like...
What a weird fucking thing.
What a dick.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was
but
dickish.
Also, what a weird scene to pick.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because like you're playing Matthew Broderick and you're the main character going through this whole story. So you have to...
Like, I haven't read the book, obviously, and the movie is not going to come out until next year, right?
Right.
Yeah, 2018.
So I thought that it was going to have to do with the fucking climax. That's why I brought it up now.
Yeah, because you thought it was like the war,
this
fucking
is just
explosion.
The beginning.
Yeah.
It's just the beginning.
One scene in
like,
the beginning.
They go through Blade Runner. They go through Black Dragon, which is Black Panther arcade game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go through a bunch of arcade games. And, I mean... The story really, like, it keeps you guessing until a certain point where you're like, okay, I kind of know where it's going now.
I do feel like now they're our sponsor, so we should get some shit from them.
Yeah, so Steven Spielberg or whoever wrote that fucking book, just give us money, I guess. I don't know. So the bottom line.
Johnny Ready Player One.
Yeah, just Ready Ready Player Public. But it no doesn't matter. Shit. Don't even bother looking it up. I don't give a shit.
I don't need to look it up.
Actually, you know what? Look it up and tweet at them and be like, hey, give us money, motherfucker.
It's by Ernest Cline.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Ernest Cline, bunch the of free. Ernest Cline? Yeah, the Ernest Cline.
I expect at least some free copies of the book so I can read this book. I guess.
I mean, we want like just so they can read it. I already have my copy. I love it. Thanks, Ernest Cline. And thanks, Will Wheaton, for reading it for me.
I feel like that's your recommendation for the week. But
yeah, the book.
Oh, yeah, for
listen
sure.
to the audiobook, Will Wheaton.
Ready Player
One. You
have
a cool voice.
Yeah.
Ready Player One was really great. It really amped me up for the movie. The fact is, the funny fact is that Will Wheaton was voted as a president in the book.
So he's reading it. Yeah,
that's pretty funny. Yeah.
Steven Spielberg was one of the creators of the games. Favorite like directors.
Director, yeah.
Of course.
And
yeah.
now
course.
Steven
now
Spielberg is
now he's yeah. fucking directing.
So
that's why he's
just,
doing the movie.
It's yeah. just really great. And I'm like, wow, this is hopefully just makes it so good.
That's interesting because I've heard the book is bad.
Yeah, they can go suck it. The book was great. If you like
also the trailer's not that good for the movie. But
the trailer's really
weird.
It's
just a teaser trailer though.
Yeah,
it's not
teaser.
It's hard
we'll
to tell.
Get there.
We'll
it is hard to
the
tell.
Whole thing with the DeLorean, like
Freddy Krueger and the Iron Giant and shit.
The Iron Giant's
weird because that's 90s.
Yeah, yeah. The Iron Giant is actually, it's from the book, The Iron Giant, back when it was made in the 80s.
Oh!
Yeah, but it's such a small part in the book.
It's interesting.
Like, the Iron Giant is like, he's having to select a giant robot to choose, and he goes over the Iron Giant, but nobody in the entire book chooses it as their giant robot.
Oh, interesting.
So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That's
it's a lot of 80s nostalgia. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, we'll come back around to that maybe.
Yeah.
We're gonna cut all that shit. You said.
Yeah, we're cutting everything because who cares? So
it's not about us. So.
The bottom line is the computer finally figures out that it's all like meaningless. That there's no winner because the game is rigged. Like there's no way to win.
There's no way to win nuclear fucking war.
Right. Yeah. So at the end, he's just like, "You want to play chess?
Yeah, would you like to play a nice game of chess?
Yeah, which is like, yeah.
And it does a very cinematic thing where all the computers come back out. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a very, like, ridiculous. But everyone cheers and hugs and laughs
and cries and tussle hairs.
And
which, again, we were like, you're going to jail, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
like,
this
oh,
would have
yeah,
happened if you
exactly.
wouldn't have hacked into fucking this
computer. You hacked this system. You're going to Guantanamo Bay, which people didn't know about, would totally existed
yeah,
back then.
Yeah,
and you're going to be like just
yeah, yeah.
held without bail forever.
And then this actually, the movie.
Our trial.
The character is based on David Scott Lewis, who was a real life hacker in the early 80s. Who is not allowed to say whether or not he hacked into a government computer.
Wow. Yeah.
Which clearly means he hacked
into
a
yeah.
government
it totally
computer.
He definitely hacked into a government
yeah,
computer.
Yeah, exactly. He can't. If you ask him, he can't. Like, they have asked him in interviews.
Yeah.
He can't say
NDS,
it.
NDS, man.
Yeah. He got in there, man. He got in there.
Or NDA, excuse me. NDA.
Yes.
That's the problem. NDA, non-disclosure.
I wonder if they actually had that same scenario. They're just like, well, this is a true story, but we're not really saying it's a true story.
Based on a true story.
It's got to be like a weird... No, inspired by real events, which
yeah.
means nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Even based on a true story means nothing.
No, it doesn't. They'll
lie to
your face.
Inspired by true events means one time a guy tripped, and that happens at one point in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I guess based on a true story works for like 127 hours, but that's about it.
You know, I mean, there's still, based on true story, still means like that, like the end result was the same, but everything else could be different.
Sometimes.
But inspired by true events means fucking nothing.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. It's just like every alien abduction movie is like based on a true story. And it's like,
yeah. Inspired by true events, you're like, well, I mean, that's what like, I said.
Really?
No.
I don't know.
All that shit happened.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
Fire in the sky was a real thing. It happened right
of
here
course.
In the White Mountains.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. He's forgotten.
None of their stories contradict each other or anything.
No. Look. Everybody knows that aliens are real and that
we all float, okay? We all float down here.
You're not talking about aliens no more.
We all float
like
on,
intergalactical
okay?
demons.
What was that, Modest Mouse? Anyways.
But yeah. So that's how the movie
ends.
It's a happy ending for
one
us
assumes,
and the Soviets.
Yeah, well, One assumes, well, and then the end result is they're like, fuck this computer bullshit. And because computers are evil, because progress is the enemy.
Pre-Y2K.
Yeah, here's the funny thing about that is that like they're like, fuck the computer bullshit about this. We cannot give this power to the computer. But the first scene in the movie was clearly we can't give this power to people.
Yeah.
Well, so then we're just screwed all the way. Yeah. All the way, yeah.
It's a no-win situation.
It's a no-win situation.
But obviously, if we give the power to the computer, logical result is that Skynet. The very year after this, 1984, right? It was 84, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Terminator. Yeah, Skynet happens.
Fucking Skynet.
The computer becomes so smart.
Skynet doesn't happen until it's like 2001 or something like that. But
I think originally
it's
like 97 or
something. Was it? Jesus. Yeah.
But yeah, like the computers become so smart, they become self-aware. And they just destroy
us all and everything. And then you get fucking Matrix Times or Road Warrior or whatever.
Yeah.
That was another thing. I mean, Road Warrior, again, it's all like nuclear fear. If you watch like Watchmen, like you said, Watchmen, Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, it's just
all that shit. Like there's so much fucking nuclear fear at that time.
I feel like everybody fears the end of the world, but when it comes, nobody will.
Well, because we'll be too busy dead.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point.
Or fucking before being.
Or fucking, or living in Mad Max times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
the ones who make it will envy the dead, but still rock it out.
I feel like. I mean, look, in reality, would it be fun? No. Would it be cool? No. I mean, would it be torturous hell? Yes. But in my mind, it's a fucking badass Mad Max rad times telling you we're just rocking fast cars, nitro motherfuckers.
We wouldn't be more fit.
Just shooting motherfuckers in the face.
Oh, yeah.
We'd all be like ripped.
Yeah.
Because we'd be like, there's no non-healthy food. We're just eating to live.
No, there's just dog food.
Yeah,
we're just eating protein at that point.
Yeah, and just working out all the time because you don't want to die.
Which are protein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no, but the bottom line is that just you get to do whatever you want whenever you want. That motherfucker like bothering you with his, I don't know, dumb way of speaking, shoot him in the face. Doesn't matter.
Fucking British guy. Yeah.
Fucking Benedict Cumberbatch talking to you like an asshole, shoot in the face. Like, it doesn't matter.
With a shitty American accent.
Make a fucking leather coat out of his skin. It's Mad Max times.
You know whatever the fuck you want. That's a fun of Mad Max times. Yeah. There was a video game. A War Games video game for like the Atari 8-bit and ColecoVision.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
That'd be a
like
crazy
a year
game.
After 1984. Which, if you know anything about the games in 1984, it was fucking garbage.
It was terrible, yeah.
It was just 14 lines and this fucking dot.
Yeah, everyone.
Did you know that Atari makers weren't allowed to put their names on the game cartridges?
That sounds right.
That sounds about right, yeah.
And then the game Adventure, which was the very first game to put an Easter egg in their game. You found this hidden room that had a three-headed dragon.
Speed it up.
Looked like three ducks. Right. And you killed the ducks or whatever, and it drops a key, and whenever you went through the secret door, it was an Easter egg that said, created by...
Oh, and you got the creator by it?
Then you got the creator, and that's how the first Easter egg was actually implemented.
I do feel like a lot of your stories have to do with keys today.
Yeah, well, that was the book. It taught you something. It teaches you stuff.
It teaches you things.
Oh, shit.
So, that's nice. So, Ready Player One, send it to me so I can learn stuff, I guess.
All right, let's get into recommendations.
Yeah, so real quick, did you like this movie?
Fuck yes.
I fucking love this
movie. Yeah, it's really good.
This movie was awesome.
Yeah.
Was
all right, it's really fucking good. Let's move on.
Actually, like, this, before we move on, because I got shit to say.
All right, fine.
This movie is one of the reasons why I like doing this fucking podcast, because I saw this movie when I was little, and I don't remember it being this fucking great. I just remember, like, computer shit in it, and now when I see it, it's really fucking good.
Hell yeah.
Really well directed, really well, really great fucking, like, tension and shit.
You're absolutely right, and I'm going to move into recommendations on that note, because here's the thing about this movie and memory. I remembered this movie so differently.
Completely different, right? Yeah.
Like, so completely differently that, and I don't know, I think there's another movie I must be like...
You're thinking of a little kid, like a young little kid? Because I remember Matthew Broderick being really young.
I remember Matthew Broderick, like, for some reason, I remembered Matthew Broderick, like, playing a game that... I thought he was playing a game that he thought was a game that was ended up being real.
Right.
And I don't know if that was a different, that may have been a different movie that I'm just not aware of. But because I remembered it that way, I decided even before we started watching the movie what my recommendation was going to be.
Go on.
And my recommendation is for a book. It's for a book called Ender's Game.
Hell yes.
Which is one of my favorite books, and they have made a movie of it, which is not bad.
It's not awful.
It's not awful. What it is, it really is kind of the Reader's Digest, super, like, bare bones version of the story, where it hits the major plot points, but it doesn't really get into why the book is so good.
Agreed.
And, you know, the music's cool. The cast is good. You got some Harrison Ford. I like the kids, actually. Hayley Statwell and Aja Butterfield or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
They're all good. Ben Kingsley. But the book is really, really good. It's one of my favorites. It just really dives into the psychology of what it is to be a kid, what it is to be a smart kid, which, I mean, most of you people are probably nerds, I assume, because you're listening to this. So you were probably kind of a smart kid. So you know what it was kind of like to be a kid that didn't feel like they should be treated like a kid, even though they were all the time. And it's just a really awesome book. And I know a lot of people give, like, the narrative has kind of turned because people hate Orson Scott Card now because of his political beliefs and stuff. And that's fine. Like, and you can not like his political beliefs and stuff, but that doesn't change the fact that the book is really good. And it's a weird thing that we as a society turn on people's, like, not just even their work, but just on them individually because we disagree with them. Like, that's kind of odd to me, I think.
Speed it up.
Okay, sorry. my whole point is that the book is still really good, and most of his books are still really good. And, like, I don't agree with his political views, but he can have them. Like, it's a free fucking country. He can have different political views than me, and that's fine.
Yeah. He just makes good books.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make him an evil person, and it doesn't make his books not good. So it's a great book. Read it.
So if I Google a movie where a kid plays a game thinks is real,
yeah.
Number one is War Games, number two is Ender's Game. So you're not insane. You're
okay,
not crazy.
Okay, I'm not insane. All right.
All right. My recommendation this year, this fucking episode, is Cloak and Dagger. And Cloak and Dagger is a movie. Also,
the Marvel comic characters that are coming to Netflix?
Not the Marvel comic characters. This movie after this movie that's clearly a ripoff kind of this movie. But it's also Dabney Coleman is who's in this movie. He's like the older fucking
mustachioed man.
Mustachioed guy. And then also Henry Thomas from E.T., who's a kid in E.T.
Of course, who could forget the most memorable character of E.T.?
Henry Thomas.
That kid.
Yeah. He was also in Gangs of New York and shit when he grew up.
Oh, but fuck, that's a good movie.
He's a kid that likes to play Cloak and Dagger, which is like a shoot-em-up game. And then he witnesses a murder, and he thinks it's kind of a game, and he runs up, and the guy that's dying gives him this game cartridge. And he tells him, you have to protect this with your life. And it turns out the game cartridge is like military secrets in it. And so then Dabney Coleman finds him, and he has to like protect him while the government is after him and the spies are after him. And it's very much like this type of like the kid doesn't know what's going on, but he has to protect these like secrets to keep us from war and all that shit. It's a pretty solid fucking movie that I saw way back. It's probably completely different now, just like this movie, because I haven't seen it in a long time. But I feel like you should really watch it because it's got Dabney Coleman and it's the same type of like kid stumbling upon shit that he didn't know was incredibly important.
Of course, my recommendation is Ready Player One. Just finished it recently and it was fantastic. I enjoyed the whole plot of it. I mean, there was obvious like...
Opinions given by Cody are not a representative of Blockbuster Nostalgia LLC or its parent company.
I bet you it's a really good book because it got made into a movie.
Anheuser-Busch. No, I don't know.
Yeah, but it was just it was fantastic, and I highly recommend it.
No, it's just funny because that is one of those books that when it first came onto the scene, I heard a lot of people being like, "Oh, you'll love it. It's fucking great. It's a great movie, whatever, or book rather." And then within like a year, I heard a bunch of people being like, "Oh, it's garbage! It's terrible! Like it's the worst thing ever!" Like, yeah,
it's a weird millennials and pieces of shit. I'm sorry,
it's a millennial. Yeah, you are one.
It's like the wave comes in really strong and then breaks and goes back.
And so it's hard to know like what is what. I don't. I haven't read it yet or anything. But yeah,
I agree with you on most on your books that you've recommended to me. and they're great. So
I think that's true. I trust.
You agree with him, motherfucker? Now, shit.
Yeah. I am. I'm just
read the damn book.
Okay.
So that's our podcast.
That is our podcast for this week. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Cody, for coming on, man.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, C-Note.
C-Note.
$100 bill over here. Which is what we give him. Well, it's not what we give him, but it's what other dudes give him to suck a dick. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Guys give me money to suck my dick. It's what happens.
Yeah,
so.
It's true. And
true story.
It's a Midnight Cowboy type of situation.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
He came to the big city looking for fame, but all he found was dick sucking.
Dick sucking. All he found was male on male dick sucking.
all the males.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. You got to make a living.
So, I don't have to suck any dick. No, I get paid for people to suck my dick, which is a great thing. It sucks that they're all male, but.
It's a reason, like, I'm not gay. He fucked me.
Yeah.
How am I gay in that situation?
Yeah, right. Sucks my dick.
So next week.
Next week, we've got Eddie Murphy coming back onto the podcast.
Woo.
Not actually, but in movie form.
Yeah.
And it's The Golden Child, which is a bad movie, but one that I remember fondly. Yeah.
Chinese mysticism.
Not as good as Big Trouble, obviously, because what is?
Yeah.
But
a fun movie. Yeah,
The Golden Child. So we'll be back next week to talk about that good, maybe good movie.
Yeah.
But until then, I've been E.G. Seitz.
I have been Francisco Landin.
And I've been Cody A. Bear.
This is Blockbuster Nostalgia, wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.
You know where the Good Journey thing is from, right?
Where?
Master of the Universe.
It's not from... They said Good Journey before Master of the Universe.
No, it's from Master of the Universe. That's why I say it. That is why I say it.
That's why you say it?
Yes.